Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry. Hello?
Good morning, Ashwini. I was muted. Is this where we say nothing to it?
I guess so.
Oh, dear. All right. Technology. We love it.
Okay. So, here were our assignments over the weekend. To understand what a watermelon is, take a watermelon, get a knife, and cut the watermelon. Then put a slice in your mouth. Boom, your experience. To have your own experience, what a notion. Not the experience you should have. Not the experience everyone else has. Not the right experience, your experience. Now, of course, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has people convinced that its experience is your experience. A person looks to conditioned mind, gets told what to think and feel, and the person believes they're having their own experience. If we consider for a moment the often brutal process of being turned from a living in the present child to know what the right answer and do it adult, we can be pretty sure what goes on in conditioned mind is not our authentic experience. Today, every time it occurs to you, setting an alarm to assist, ask yourself, what would be true for me if everything were possible? Record and listen. Then on Saturday, concert pianist Vladimir Horowitz tells us about the time he played a dissonant contemporary composition at a private gathering. When he finished, someone asked, "I don't understand what that composition means, Mr. Horowitz. Could you please explain it?" Without a word, Horowitz played the composition again. When he finished, he turned to his questioner and said, "That's what it means." Meaning is a perfect platform for an illusion of someone separate from life, which egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is. Life, life unfolding is not enough. It needs to mean something. If we go back to yesterday's watermelon adventure, to understand what a watermelon is, take a watermelon, get a knife, and cut the watermelon, then put a slice in your mouth, boom, your experience. We can see how silly that is. But what does a watermelon mean? At this juncture, the ego-maintaining voices like to offer as a definition of Zen that nothing means anything, as in, why bother? It's all meaningless anyway. To avoid that dualistic trap in conditioned mind, we could counter with, yes, you can say that nothing means anything if you understand that's the same as everything means everything. Or we could just stick with the boom, your experience of watermelon fame. No thoughts or words required. Today, notice that each time you turn attention away from conditioned mind to this here now, you're magically transported from the land of conditioned meaning to the peace and freedom of being. Record and listen. And on Sunday, I learn by going where I have to go. This is such a clear expression of the abundant generosity of life. In the daily recollection, we recite, I'm born of karma, I'm heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I'm supported by karma. This is not the disastrous view of karma we're often encouraged to assume by misunderstanding popular culture. In that misconception, everything I don't want is the punishment of bad karma, and everything I do want is the reward of good karma. Perhaps that's true, and what's probably truer is that we will never have any clarity about why a particular set of circumstances occurs in our lives. However, what we can have is the joyful opportunity to see that wherever life leads us is our very best opportunity to see through what is causing us to suffer and allow us to wake up and end suffering. We go where life calls us to go, and we learn as we go. Today, go along with life, trusting you're being guided to freedom.
Wow.
Yes,
no wonder.
Wow, indeed.
Great weekend.
Yes, and so here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
This is Mark in Bellingham, Washington.
Well, hello, Mark.
How are you this wonderful, glorious morning?
Excellent, thank you. And it sounds like you are, too.
I'm just bubbling all over, and it's not because nothing's going on.
Dare we speculate it's because you're present?
Well, I hope so. And that you know, I have to tell you that sometimes becomes a mystery. And, of course, when it's a mystery, I know that it's not a mystery because I'm not present. So the great privilege that I have recently is to be a part of 2 year-long retreats. And and it's this one, which I love and listen to every day. And there's another 24/7 retreat that I'm on as well. And that one has a kind of a different slant on it, but the whole purpose behind it is to go beyond fear, limitations, and resistance. And mm-hmm. and that's the one that keeps ego right under my nose and in my awareness, because we just got back from a very fun trip regarding this other retreat.
Retreat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What happened was is that I'm just kind of bubbling all over because the retreat is wonderful and our experience of that retreat was wonderful, and I got busy and I got more committed, decided that I was going to commit to become more involved, and mm-hmm. What I found was is that being involved, the process of being involved, was ecstatic. I mean, and that is an experience of being in the present moment, because it mm-hmm. was delightful. It was
uh-huh.
truly delightful. And then we got home and went to bed, and I woke up about an hour before the alarm went off this morning, and there were the voices.
Oh, they had been waiting for you in your bedroom.
In my bedroom, yes, and it wasn't the voice of self-hate that was beating me up. It was the voice of conditioning that was trying to create a future that we cannot know, that I cannot know. And so every time I had the practice of coming back to my breath, coming back to my body, another one of these little flack things would, you know, fly into my head, and because I'm so conditioned to go with what pops up in my head, I would go off with that for about 2 seconds, and then I would come back to the breath again, and then, you know, immediately I would go off to another one, and for an hour, that was going on. And what that kind of did was it taught me 2 things. It taught me, one, how to keep practicing coming back to the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it told me, number 2, I have to be doing what I need to be doing. It's the assignment from yesterday, which basically talks about karma and the fact that the karma is just mm-hmm. coming up so much that mm-hmm. my commitment really is what I need to be doing. Because if that weren't the case, this stuff wouldn't be going on, because it hasn't been going on like this in the mornings for the last, what, months or two?
Uh-huh.
This is kind of like a new escalation of conditioning uh-huh. coming in trying to, you know, bombard me with, you know, what if and wouldn't it be great and, all, you know, all those kinds of things. Again, not a B-team kind of a thing, but it's but trying to get my attention
out of the moment
to be with it.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, gosh, Mark, that is so important. And to me, what we can all take from it is the clarity that we're always practicing something. It's not
yes.
like practice is Zen awareness practice or, you know, whatever people might be doing. Meditation or practice. We're always practicing something. And most of the time, for most of the people, what's being practiced is following what pops up in conditioned mind and getting lost in it. That's what we're
yeah.
practicing. So what you're pointing out is that we have to be practicing staying present all the time and doing any and everything that supports us in being present. Otherwise, we're practicing distraction leading to suffering.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
and
big.
So this is exciting and kind of what used to be called fearful at the same time.
Yes.
And
since you're practicing going beyond fear, then it's exciting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
And for that reason alone, it's enough of a reason to keep on the commitment path to doing what
uh-huh.
I said I was going to do, or I am
mm-hmm.
going to do. Change that verb there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And know that it's the right place. That and for me,
yes.
that is a kind of a knowing. You know, even though we don't know anything.
Yes.
But we know
even,
everything.
Right.
We
it's funny when you say that. It's like we know as a process, we don't know as content.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Yeah. I know I'm going to follow my heart. I know I'm going to be open to where life leads me. I know I'm going to say yes. Okay, I know that. Are there specifics about that? I have no idea. What's that
exactly.
going to look like? I don't know. Yeah.
Yep.
No, that's great, Mark.
Hey,
thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you so much for this wonderful retreat.
Yes, it was a joy, wasn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Mark. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark. Oh, I love that. We know in process, we don't know content. It just makes sense of everything.
Uh-huh. I never thought about that before until it came out of my mouth. But that does
right.
that does seem to be the case, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. That knowing
mm-hmm.
as a process is a different kind of knowing than knowing the content. I think it's
mm-hmm.
that it's awareness versus the knowing of conditioned mind.
Yes. Yeah. Intuitive sensing versus facts and figures. Specific.
And it's the knowing of what is true rather than the knowing of what is believed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm going to see if I can make up for lost time, Sherry, and get some
okay.
more callers.
All right,
good.
Good. Thank you, Ashwini.
First caller, you're now live. Oh, next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Ann calling from the Bay Area.
Hello,
Ann. Hey, I am just enjoying the retreat, and I loved the quote from yesterday. Well, I love them all, but I just there's just something so relaxing to knowing that you show up and life will put you where you need to be.
Yes. Well stated. We show up and life just kind of, it's, being moved around like pieces on a chessboard or puzzle pieces or whatever the image would be for that. We don't have to worry about it. It's just going to happen.
Yes, and what I just saw was that so oh, I think it was a peace quote or a tweet. It was a tweet that said, "Get write down your arsenal for getting out of the conversation and post it where you can see it, your tools." And that is such a tool for getting out of the conversation, because if it's not up to me and everything is going as it should be, there is nothing wrong, and there's enough, so drop those conversations.
Yes, no reason to worry. Shwenny and I were talking recently. We have a couple of workshops coming up at Center at the end of the month, and we were talking about doing one of the workshops on that very subject, kind of the absolute lack of necessity for worry. And that's what you're pointing at.
Yeah, because there's just so much faith in. It's just what you were pointing at too. With it's we don't know anything about the content, but we can be fully committed to the process. So I'm fully committed to being present and showing up, and life is in charge, and I am here to do what life needs, I guess.
Do life's bidding. Yes.
Yeah.
Say yes to life. Yeah. It's so simple, isn't it? And as everyone's fond of pointing out, that doesn't necessarily make it always easy, but at least we get clearer about where the struggle is. The struggle is in the process that I'm attending to, not in the content of my life.
Yeah, that reminds me of a call, I think it was last week, with one of our Sangha members with her mother aging, and you were saying how it doesn't mean there's anything wrong. Who knows that this isn't the perfect thing? You know, that we get caught in those conversations about, well, this is wrong, this particular, or this is hard for me, so there must be something wrong with it. Rather than how can I be as present as I can be to this now?
Yes.
No, I don't know if that makes
yes.
sense.
Yes, because I know I'm in the right place, as you were just saying. I know I'm in the right place. I know this is for me. I know there's a gift here. What is it?
Yes.
What
and
is it?
If I'm not seeing something that life is asking me to do, or if I'm not seeing something about what I'm needing to be seeing here, show it to me. Let me see it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a variation on "Thy will be done," isn't it?
Yeah, and I just got this just such a sense of when I read that the Project Joy quote yesterday, of just a sense of we can relax into life, like you say, you know, all of it is for us, and nothing in the universe wants us to suffer. That life loves us, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Only those nasty voices in the head that don't love life. are eager for us to suffer. Nothing else, nothing real ever wants us to struggle or suffer.
Yeah. So I will get off, because I know we had a hard time getting organized today, and let somebody get on. But just, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is a great retreat.
Thank you, Anne.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anne. And I'm going to squeeze one other caller in, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Well, hello, Jeff.
Hey. So I think what I'm going to say relates to all three, but especially to yesterday's assignment. And I have been on retreat for a little over 2 weeks. I spent 10 or 11 days at the monastery, and then 3 or 4 days on the with the Going Beyond Fear, Resistance, and Limitations retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try and communicate a little of what I experienced. And one way that occurs to me to say it is, I'm not the same person I was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my.
You know, I...
And we like that person, so tell us about this new guy.
Well, just one... Well, I want to start with being at the monastery a little bit. So what I found happening at the monastery was... I would drop into the hara and have the attention there and expand the awareness and walk around in love and bliss and goodness. And what I saw, one of the things I saw there is that the present moment is love. It is goodness. It is, it's not that it contains it, it is it. And
yeah, powerful distinction.
Yeah. And when I am part of the present moment, then I am in the midst of all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can have that anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
because you know how to do it.
Right.
Right. You know where it is, and you know how to do it, and you know it's a matter of turning your attention there and choosing it.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, now it's simply a matter of remembering, training the attention come back to this here and now. And boom, here it is again. Another thing I saw is that it never goes away.
Right.
It never goes anywhere.
Yeah.
The present, and it never rebukes me. It never rebukes me when I come back. And it's always absolutely fully available when I come back.
Yes, 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 yes. You know, I was talking with somebody, Jeff, about this recently, and without the word prodigal, it's the prodigal son parable in the New Testament.
Yes.
That's exactly what's being talked about, that you're gone doing everybody, we're gone doing whatever it is that we're doing. We come back to the present. It's a party. There are no hard feelings. There's no, why did, there's none of that. It's just bliss.
Yes, yes. And another thing I'm seeing more in life outside the monastery, I've seen in the monastery too, but even more outside the monastery is I don't have to solve all my problems. I don't have to solve all my problems. I can, because all I have to do is turn my attention to this. All I have to do is turn my attention to life. No matter what's going on,
it's what Anne was saying. Yeah, it's what Anne was saying, right? Just drop all of that worry, solving problems, future, past. Drop all of that, and life will orchestrate you perfectly.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. 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 And there's so many things. But one more thing before I leave the monastery experience. Another thing that I saw at the monastery, heard it so many times, but that I got at the monastery, is that this is the privileged environment. And I include everything we do in practice, what we're doing right now on these Project Joy calls, the Going Beyond Fear, Resistance, and Limitations retreat, every single retreat I've ever been on, every practice opportunity, it is the privileged environment because it supports me in what I was just talking about. Everything about the environment itself, the 320 peaceful, incredibly beautiful acres at the monastery, the schedule, the fact that someone next to me, sometimes on either side, is meditating with what I project such incredible love and devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's going to come up to me at the monastery and just start talking about whatever that would tend to draw my attention out into some conditioned story.
Mm-hmm.
I get to be right here learning how to have my attention with the love, the gratitude, the goodness, the insight, the wisdom, the compassion, the bliss, the joy, the peace that is the present moment. Everything I ever wanted, it's always available.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jeff, I'm so very happy for you.
Thank you, Sherry. And I know we're over time, but just briefly on the Going Beyond Fear, Resistance, and Limitations retreat. I just want to say that retreat is being for me, as someone I heard say it, it is a, well, this is a little different in my words, it is a spiritual transformation workshop par excellence that we get paid to take.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I found my. Go ahead if you have something.
No. I'm just laughing along. Just delighted. You know, I was laughing like this on a call recently, on a practice conference call, and the person said, "Well, yeah, it could be funny, but," and I thought, "Oh my goodness, I hope people don't think I laugh like this because I think what they're saying is funny." And, you know, I laugh like this because I'm so overjoyed. I get overjoyed and I cry. I've just never been that person. I'm overjoyed and I laugh. You know, every cell in my body is just, overflowing with, oh my goodness gracious, yes, oh, the delight, the relief, the joy of it. Yeah,
yes.
So that's, I'm laughing right along with you.
Yes, exactly. I just one small bit about that. So I went to the drugstore last night, and I went to the grocery store this morning. And in both cases, what I'm doing without any effort is I'm looking people in the eyes and I'm smiling and I'm saying things like, good morning. Have a great day, you know, in the appropriate places and times, whatever the appropriate thing is for that moment, no shame, people I've never seen before, and it's real, you know, it's real.
Yes, because if I may connect that up, that when we're lost in conditioned mind, we don't see other people. When we talk about bringing kindness into the world, it feels like something we really have to do, right? Mm-hmm. It's a real shift because, yeah, it's true. I got to get out of the constant conversation and conditioned mind about me, and actually notice that you exist. But when we're present, you really do see people. And you really do care about them. And you want the best for them. You want them to feel what for themselves in that moment what you feel about them.
Yes. The Going Beyond Fear, Resistance, and Limitations retreat is doing for me on the interactions with people level what being at the monastery is doing for me on the be by myself centered practice, being in the moment level.
Gosh, Jeff. Gosh, thank you for that. I've just never seen that before. You've captured it perfectly. There's what we can do at the monastery in that privileged environment, and then there's how we can, the possibility for us to be all of that in the world with people. That is beautiful. I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank
all
you.
Right. Well,
thanks, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
I don't have to say take good care of yourself. I know you will.
I'm going to take fantastic care of myself. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Jeff. Wow. Well, I'm going to read our assignment since that's all we have time for.
All right.
Zen means doing ordinary things willingly and cheerfully. Oh, dear. It seems we've managed to slip back into that imaginary world of meaning. What might one of the most renowned personages in the history of Zen in the West be doing talking about the meaning of Zen? Perhaps this is a possibility,
a student of Zen in the present, not identified with the illusion of a self that is separate from life unfolding in the moment, does ordinary things willingly and cheerfully. That person is not lost in thoughts and conditioned mind about doing something more important, or not wanting to do what they're doing, or fantasizing about what they get to do next, or figuring out how to get out of this mundane, boring activity. The person of Zen is here, not even doing, but simply expressing, at one with and expressed by, the activity. Today, allow yourself to be absorbed by your task and feel life expressing you. And that was so beautifully captured by that last conversation.
Oh, so lovely. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. I know sometimes technology is not our friend. And so thank you for persevering and making it happen this morning. And thanks to you and Chris for making this happen while the rest of us were off on retreat. We all appreciate it.
Deep Gasher Sherry for everything. Take care and go happy.
Take care. Go happy.
Go
treasure
happy.
Yourself.
Treasure yourself. Treasure yourself.